Hey, this is the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast, where you get to find out about the best books from the people who write them. I'm Bex, and this week you're going to hear some exclusive footage from our Bookworms live event that took place at the Underbelly Festival in Oxford Circus in London. You can find out what happened when I chatted to Alex Milway and Stephen Lenton. Plus, I'll be telling you about some brilliant books that are coming out at the moment. Oh my goodness, September is here and the books are raining down upon us. It is brilliant. But first, let's go back to that Bookworms live event and check in with Alex Milway. Let's start. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Come and take a seat. Oh my goodness, now, Alex, how does it feel to be on stage here at the Underbelly Festival?
It's amazing. It's great to be back in London. It's lovely.
It's what I realise. I have interviewed you before for Fun Kids.
Yes.
But a long time ago, and about a totally different book, because everybody here might know you from the Hotel Flamingo series.
That's right.
But you've got a brand new series out.
I have, Big Sky Mountain.
Now tell us a little bit about it.
So Big Sky Mountain, well, it's sort of based a little bit loosely on my childhood, because I had a grandma who was incredibly strong-willed and would drive us up the mountain, up the hill, well, I say mountains, Morven Hills, they weren't really mountains. All weathers, we were from the age of about five, we'd be up there every time we visited, sort of 10-mile walks, and she just would push us and push us and push us, and it was through that sort of love and relationship with my gran and the sort of natural landscape, really. I wanted to write about that thing as a kid growing up with a strong gran and being out in the wild, which is effectively what the story's about, going to live in a cabin with your grandma in the middle of nowhere.
What made your gran particularly special?
She was quite a tough cookie.
Right.
I wouldn't have liked to have got on the wrong... I mean, I probably did as a child get on the wrong side of her, but she. I remember being there with some arguments, especially amongst her sisters. She was part of a French family, so she had massive sort of terrifying arguments around if they were around. It was great.
Great.
As a kid, you'd be carrying... But they were... Yeah, she was just very... Things like she would drive a moped to work about 30 miles up and down the Morven Hills. Even up until the age of like sort of 65 years old, she was on her moped. And she turned up looking like Darth Vader. It was brilliant. She had a helmet on and gauntlets and stuff. And we'd go around dressing up like in her clothes as kids, which was great.
She sounds amazing.
Yeah, she was quite impressive. She worked for St. John's Ambulance for a long time. So she would always take us. I mean, she used to clean for women a lot younger than her and in their Morven. And often would take me along, so I would clean with her. She sort of made you go everywhere she went. So I don't know if you've ever known Casualty Union. When you go to places like, for St. John Ambulance, she would take us to events like Three County Show or whatever, and they would have Casualty Union, and we'd have to sort of sit and watch. And Casualty Union is when people reenact accidents, and they have to kind of deal with it. So there'd be people with almost like sort of prosthetics, kind of blood and,
oh my goodness,
and gore, and we'd be sitting there, and they'd be fixing them up. And that was part of our life growing up with my gran.
I have so many more questions about your gran, I won't lie, but we should probably talk about your new book.
Yes.
Am I right in thinking there's lots of amazing animals in it as well,
yes,
including some parachuting animals, is that right?
Parachuting beavers,
yeah.
Yes. There's this great story from back in the sort of 50s. They were trying to rehome a load of beavers in America, and the way they thought of taking them out from a sort of town area and put them in the wilderness was to put them in a wooden box and then fly them in a plane and drop them out of the plane on parachutes. And as they'd land, box would open up and they'd go off, and there's a video of this on the internet. It's real.
Is it real?
And I thought this would be a great way of introducing beavers into my book.
I'm not sure this is real. I just want to check. Has anybody here seen a parachuting beaver before?
No.
Anybody? Sure, okay, just wanted to check with you.
But I love the idea they tested it out on one beaver to start off with. And so this poor beaver kept getting taken up into planes, dropped out, apparently he started out feeling sort of like he was gonna run away and get away from all this when he landed, and by the end of the 50 jumps he did, I think he was a bit broken, just sort of sat there waiting to go again.
I hope they gave him a nice home, maybe a little hotel somewhere, a little mansion he can get away from.
So he had a nice life after that. He took one for the team.
He really did. So tell us more about your book. What is going on in this book? What
kind of
characters?
Yes, there's a young girl called Rosa, and she goes out to stay with her grandma on Big Sky Mountain and live in a cabin. So she's going to meet a moose called Albert, who just likes apples. And there's the beavers, of course. There's kind of beavers. And obviously beavers move into the landscape and do quite a lot of changes to the place. You know, they chop down trees and things like that, which people don't like. So there's a lot of... Well, the story is about people moving into another area and maybe causing problems, or it's about trying to get along, really, with everybody and all the different animals in the ecosystem.
Do you have a particular favourite animal or an animal who inspired you when you were writing this book?
Oh, that's quite difficult. I've got a dog called Aggie, and she's very, definitely very inspiring. I also had a cat called Milo as a Devon Rex, and they're really weird cats and really friendly, more like dogs and things like that. He would always sleep in my jumper, for example, as they're working. And there's all sorts of creatures from my life that their little characteristics definitely come out. Some of the things Aggie's done definitely probably replaced into the beavers or into the into a mountain hare listener as well, so yes.
So what's Rosa like as a character as well? Was she fun to write?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the same sort of sense of as Anna in Hotel Flamingo, she's kind of confident, but she doesn't know this world. It's completely new. So she's grown up in a town or a city, and she finds herself in a mountain with nothing. There's no TV, no internet, no phone, or anything. So basically, her entertainment is just survival. So she's got to learn how to start fires and paddle a canoe and do all the things you probably would love to do if you could get out and about and be very out there in the wilderness.
Do you think if I dropped you in the wild right now, no stress, could you survive? What would you do first?
I think I'd be all right. I've got to be confident about this.
Quite big-headed, isn't it?
I own the woods, so I've started fires in my hand, you know, with the stuff. I've done all that. I've learned that. I've read lots of books on it. And I think that's the thing we have to learn, don't you? If I hadn't read all these books, I'd say, oh God, no, I'd be awful. It'd be terrible.
Did you just say you could start fires in your hand?
When you're sparking stuff, I don't know if you've seen people with the drill, the wood drill, and you pull the sort of like a bow, like on a violin, around a piece of wood, and then you get a little ember, and you literally scoop up the ember in your tinder and hold it in your hand, and you blow it, and then it comes alive. It's like magic. It's like being a wizard. So that's kind of, I've done that. And you sort of learn. The more you do it, the more you learn. And it's confidence about doing it a lot and experiencing the landscape.
You sound like some kind of Bear Grylls superhero.
I'm not like Bear Grylls. Oh, I couldn't kill an ant. I couldn't do all that. I'd probably end up living off berries. I'd get turned into a caveman. But no hunting. I couldn't do that.
So you've got this is it's a four-part series, am I right?
Yes, it's another four-part, yes.
So are you in the middle of the second or third or fourth?
Oh, I've almost finished the third one. I haven't done the pictures yet, but I'm writing the third one. So each one is a different sort of territory. Mm-hmm. So the first one is about rivers and sort of the eco side of that and why we need beavers and all that, how to keep rivers alive, really, and how beneficial they are for humans. And the second one is about woodland and bison and wolves and why they're quite useful in the landscape. Third's about the seas, and fourth will be about the mountains themselves.
So what comes first then, the illustrations or the writing? How does it work?
Writing. Do the writing first, definitely. And also coming up with the ideas usually is sort of a mixture of both, actually. But normally the writing, because it's quicker, it just feels quicker.
But what's your favourite bit to do?
Oh, drawing's really hard.
Is it?
I find it really hard, yeah. I mean, I think once you've got your characters and you've done them a lot, it gets easier. But like when you start a new series, it takes me a while to find the kind of the rhythm of it all. But by book three, I'll be fine.
Do you ever find yourself doodling on napkins and kind of the edge of envelope?
Yeah, I do doodle on lots of things. Ooh. I used to always sit there and make things out of things like napkins and you know, like wrappers of crisp packet wrappers or a Kit Kat wrap or something. I'd turn into a swan and do that. So hands are always busy.
Well, if we follow Alex around later, and if you just drop some rubbish on the floor...
It won't be rubbish.
It'll be a brilliant piece of art. Now, Alex, I believe you've written a song that's kind of inspired by the series. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, I like writing songs. I kind of feel like write the theme tune, things, do everything.
Yeah.
And so I like to fill out the story. So this song is about Albert the Moose, who is an animal that sort of lives around the cabin in Big Sky Mountain, and he particularly likes apples. And yeah, it's about his love of apples, really.
A song about a love of apples.
Yes.
That is what the top 40 is missing at the moment.
You don't get them very often.
Don't get them at all. Love, in my opinion. Brilliant. Well, Alex, do you want to give it a go for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I must put my hat on. Oh, that's all right.
I would be furious if you didn't. Please do. I mean, we all want this hat, right? How good is that?
It's a bit big.
No, it looks perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. I might steal it from you later, so I apologise in advance. So can everybody give Alex a round of applause, getting ready for his song? That is an absolute liability. I love it.
My name is Albert the Moose. Always on the loose. I love red apples the best, better than all the rest. And do you know what else? I love those humans as well, Rosa and Anna Swell. I love their cabin, it's warm, it cheers me when I'm forlorn. And do you know what else? I love those humans much more when they have apples that I adore. So get some apples for tea, apples for you and me. I love those apples for tea, apples for you and me. My name is Albert the Moose.
steal that hat from you later, just to let you know. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on Bookworms. And if everybody could give Alex a massive round of applause.
Thank you, everyone.
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much to Alex Milway. Oh my goodness, can you imagine having a song as well as writing a book? What a legend. Now, next up, we're going to go back to Bookworms Live and talk to Stephen Lenton. He's an incredible illustrator slash author, and he's got his brand new book out, Genie and Teenie.
A very exciting author and illustrator, Stephen Lenton, is here with us. Give a round of applause, everybody.
Hi, thanks. Hi, everyone. Is everyone all right? Yeah. Excellent. Can't see you now.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
It's kind of weird. Now, Stephen,
Yes. Welcome
to the show, first
Thank
of all.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I feel like I know you, but I don't, because I follow you on Twitter and I've read your books.
Professional stalker.
That's what I'm admitting to right now. And a lot of our listeners and people here might know you as an illustrator, but you've got your own brand new book out.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I illustrate things like for Frank Cottrell Boyce and David Baddiel, but I've got a new series out called Genie and Teenie, a magical young fiction series. We've got loads of illustrations in. I'm just illustrating the second one now, and I forgot how many illustrations there are. I should write more words, really.
Are you kind of annoyed at yourself for having to do so many illustrations?
I need to do more filler, less killer.
Again, publishers at the side, very happy to hear that.
Yeah, my publisher's not here either, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's fine, okay.
And they won't be listening to the podcast.
Oh, lovely.
They're too busy.
Be as honest as you want, then. Tell us behind-the-scenes gossip. I love it. Now, Genie and Teenie is about, well, I mean, a genie, obviously.
Yes.
And Teenie the dog.
It is. It's about 150 pages. And I should have brought my drum kit, Alex brought his guitar. It's all about a genie who is absolutely atrocious at making wishes come true, and therefore he gets thrown out of Genie World because he turns the queen of Genie World, Queen Griselda, into a birthday snake instead of a birthday cake. It's full of terrible puns like that. If you like bad puns and bad jokes, this is the book for you. Yeah, he gets thrown out to Genie World and then ends up falling into a park. He doesn't know anyone there. His lamp gets bashed and battered, and then he finds an old teapot, an old cracked teapot, and he's convinced it's actually a magic lamp, but it is just an old teapot. And then he comes across Teenie the dog, who I won't say how they meet because it's a little bit rude, so you'll have to read the book.
Oh, little spoiler there for everybody. Lovely.
It's got a bit of a wee in it.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. Yes. Okay.
Grant thinks that it's raining outside his teapot and he wonders what's going on, but then he realises that Teenie is actually cocking his leg up against the teapot. But it's done in a very tasteful manner.
When I read it, I thought at first he was licking it, and then I realised what it was and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, it was a bit, yeah.
And then he threw the book out the window.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my goodness, we can't promote this. What's this? So what was it like? Did you write it first and then think, I have to illustrate it? Or was it just like the genie was always in your head and you wanted to draw it?
I wanted to write... I'm a big fan of Sophie Henn's Bad Nana books. Yeah. I love the Claude books. So I wanted to write and illustrate something that had loads of pictures in and was just silly, fun, and would encourage children to read.
Sure.
Especially having illustrated the Nothing to See Here Hotel series by Stephen Butler. Loads of kids have started reading those books as their first reader, and loads of teachers at school as well, because that's their early reader thing. So... I just wanted to write something magical, silly, full of puns, easy to read, and just a bit daft.
And tick, 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 you've written that
fits all of this. I hope so. And in their second adventure, they go to school.
Ooh.
And all sorts of things happen. So, yeah, maybe the school bully and maybe the naughty dinner lady and the silly headmaster all have a go at making their three wishes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between doing something for another author and doing something for yourself? What do you prefer?
I like both, but I think I prefer working with another author because then you're working in collaboration with someone. And when you're doing events, you get to... Like when I do events with Tracy Cordrew, who writes Shifty McGifty and Slippery Sam, she does loads of craft and reads stories really beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have a companion. Also, I'm always terrified. I used to get migraines. And I'm always terrified of getting a migraine before I go on because I speak gobble... I'm having a migraine!
Oh, no!
I speak gobbledygook when I get a migraine.
Right.
So if I know there's another author with me, I don't worry because, like, well, if I can't talk, I can just draw at the back.
You can pass the book to someone else.
Exactly. Pass the book to someone else.
Oh, I didn't even know I did that. Yes. Brilliant. Now, if you had three wishes, obviously, you have to ask, what would your three wishes be? And you cannot, as the book says, you cannot wish for more wishes. That's not how
you can't wish for more wishes, no. So there are different genie wishes. It's not just exactly like the Aladdin, the film wishes.
Yeah.
It's slightly different to that. Obviously, world peace, especially at the moment.
Sure. I feel like you're saying that because you know that you should.
I think so, yeah. Beauty.
I want more selfish wishes here.
I would like an endless supply of Tony Chocolonely.
Yeah.
Other chocolate varieties are available, of course.
But they shouldn't be. That's
and
delicious.
Also, I'd like to have the ability to turn invisible at any time.
What would you do?
I don't know.
I wouldn't say shoplift.
I wouldn't shoplift, obviously. Because they'd just see loads of floating clothes, wouldn't they? So that's the reason you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I think sometimes you just don't want to be seen. Though. Like, now.
Now that's nearly it for Bookworm today, but before I go, I should say there are loads of brilliant books coming out at the moment. I can't wait for you to get your hands on them. We've got a brand new one from Michael Morpurgo, When Fishes Flew. I know it's his first novel for a long, long time, so if you're a big Morpurgo fan, check it out. Richard Lambert's also got a new book called Shadow Town, and Alex Folks has got one I'm very excited about called Rules for Vampires. Perfect as autumn, October, and of course, Halloween rears its head. But there are two books I'd like to give a special commendation to, a special Bookworm's hello. We got through some absolute beauts. The first one is called Beetles for Breakfast by Madeline Finley and Juicy Choi. Now, this book is brilliant. It's all about incredible inventions that could help you save the world. And it's full of colour and pictures. And it's the kind of book that you would spend like hours trailing through, just looking at every possible thing in it. So definitely go and check it out. And the second book is Mason Mooney, Doppelganger Detective by Sierra Miller. Now, this is brilliant. A paranormal investigator in Halloween. It is going to be pretty exciting. It's full of parallel dimensions, doppelgangers and raining frogs. And it's all told via a kind of graphic novel version. Lots of pictures, lots of cartoons. If you're maybe not up to reading full book right now, that is going to be the one for you to check out. So go and get involved. That's pretty much it from me today and from Bookworms, but don't you worry, there'll be more again very soon. In the meantime, like, subscribe and follow wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Bye!